Good morning, everybody. You might think maybe I'm talking a little loud this morning because my voice is going to carry about 15 miles away, thanks to technology. But really, it's going to travel about 24,000 miles, really, because it'll be on the internet. Okay, we're glad everybody's here. Glad to see everybody. The title of the lesson is called The Cancel Culture. And we've heard a lot about this in recent times, but it's not anything new. And we just have to know that. All right. See, as in the first century, evil permeates this age. You know, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, talking about who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us out of this present evil age according to the will of our God and our Father. All right. The rulers of the darkness of this age mount many efforts to disturb, distract, discourage, destroy faithful Christians. They're working on it. They're doing their best, trying to get us to turn away from being faithful Christians. And that means they are working for Satan. I mean, that's what Satan wants us to do. And so, with sober minds and watchful eyes, we must see these tactics and equip ourselves with spiritual weapons to pull down Satan's strongholds. And so Satan prowls about seeking someone to devour. You know, 1 Peter 5:8. We know that's the case. And the times are evil, and we are to expose the evil and warn the faithful. Ephesians 5:14 through 17 is talking about that. I mean, we got to pay attention because the days, these times are evil times and days, and we've got to keep our focus where it should be, and that is on God. And with all the distractions in the world has to offer us, it's easy to get so distracted that we forget God and stop doing what he wants us to do. All right. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to focus on this part. We need to destroy speculations and everything raised up against the knowledge of God. Science tells us there is no God. Science tells us that this earth is billions of years old and the Bible is just a myth. And so that's what they try and do. Many people in our culture and our government trying to basically tear us down, say, well, what your understanding of God doesn't fit our society, doesn't fit the mold of our society. And so anything that's raised up. Now the denominations do this against us all the time. And they try and cancel us out because we speak the truth. And they don't want to deal with the truth. So we're going to remember this lesson, and this lesson will be appropriate for some of the sermons we have planned for next year. All right, the cancel culture. We've heard about it. We've heard it on news media and stuff like that. And we're going to see what it is. See, the cancel culture is a tactic being used to silence righteousness and truth. And you can pretty well imagine that's been going on ever since the truth came out. And so cancel culture refers to the popular practice of withdrawing support for or canceling either public figures or companies after they have done or said something considered objectionable or offensive. Now you can go to Google and say, what is cancel culture? And this is what you're going to find. So Google tells you that through Wikipedia, that's how it's described. Now, cancel culture is generally discussed as being performed on social media in the form of a group shaming. In other words, get everybody shame this company and they'll change their ways. You know, we saw this several years ago when Hallmark says, no, we're not going to have a gay wedding. We're just not going to do that. Our viewers will be upset about that. And then they started shaming them. So guess what? If you watch the Hallmark Channel, you're going to have to endure some gay weddings because they gave in. And the cancel culture worked on them. And so it's that group shaming. And it doesn't matter who they are. They're going to do that. All right. The phenomenon of promoting the canceling of people, brands, and even shows and movies due to what some consider to be offensive or problematic remarks or ideologies. I mean, they come up with all sorts of things each day. Well, this needs to be taken off of the viewing for us. We don't need to see things like that. You know, Gone with the Wind, I mean, it portrayed slavery, so we need to cancel that. We don't need to see what our history is. I mean, they did that. Some even suggested we need to cancel out Snow White. Why? Because he came up and gave her a kiss without her permission. Now, if that makes any sense to you, but that's how the cancel culture works. I mean, they moved the All-Star Game out of Georgia because they perceived some of the things that were written in a law they just passed were objectionable or racist, even though it is the exact same thing in 5-6 other states. So, I mean, cancel culture comes about because of all these things. Whatever someone decides they don't want to hear, well, they're going to come up and say, well, we need to cancel that. See, cancel culture tries to eliminate anyone deemed a foe for daring to resist its accepted norms. I mean, those norms which are sanctioned and promoted by secularists, influencers, who refuse to retain God in their knowledge. That's where all of it comes from. That's where it all starts from, because they don't like certain things. One of the things they don't like is the truth. They don't like the truth being spoken or put in there. So make no mistake, we live in a society caught in the turbulence and turmoil of the downward spiral of its moral collapse. I mean, we've been watching this take place for years now. Everything just keeps getting worse and worse. You know, Romans 1, 18 through 32 used to be, years ago, we never thought that would be a description of our society, but that's the exact description of our society has turned into. I mean, trading the natural for the unnatural. I mean, so that's what it is. These people did not retain God in their knowledge, and they don't want God in their knowledge. They say, kick God out. You know, they have the group's freedom from religion. I mean, that means we don't need any religion at all. And so they interpret things like separation of church and state to mean there can't be any religion anywhere. So they do that. And so they signal their virtue signaling what they do. Well, we're morally superior. All it does is display their moral corruption. All right, see, Christians must continue in the faith in the face of the cancel culture. We still have to be strong Christians. We still have to, as we believe in God, we need to share God with others. Instead of being silenced and made to shut up and not bug anybody about what God says, we have to be strong in the faith and promote what God says. See, the Bible records many attempts to cancel God's truth and God's people. I mean, let's face it, early Christians lived in a culture that tried to cancel them. You know, Hebrews 10, 32 and 33, Acts 8, 1 talks about the great persecution that came upon the church. In chapter 9, Saul was going to Damascus to take Christians and put them in prison and to seize their properties. And in chapter 26, Paul explained, this is what I was doing. I wanted to squelch this thing called the way. I wanted to put this away because I didn't think it was right. And therefore, I wanted to cancel all these things. See, the enforcement of emperor worship in the first century put saints under extreme economic hardships. I mean, costing many their lives when they refused to relinquish their faith for the sake of the state and societal approval. When the state decides this is what you're going to believe, this is what you're going to teach, when they start mandating it, they've gone beyond their realm of what they are supposed to do. And so back then, the Romans said, well, we're going to have emperor worship. And anybody who doesn't participate will not be allowed to trade and travel. So, I mean, that's basically it. And what they did is you come to worship the emperor, you get a mark. I mean, some people suggest this could be the mark of the beast. But it was a mark that they had. If they didn't have that mark, they could not conduct business. Now, when we read in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we read about seven congregations in this vicinity where they were, where they had a lot of the temples of emperor worship, and they mandated those things. So it was very difficult to be a faithful Christian and live in that society. In fact, it was such to the point that, you know, killing Christians, no big deal. I mean, so we do that. We see that in some cultures today. They don't like Christians. So what do? We'll just take them down and execute them. So we could say, aren't we glad that it has not come to that yet? But the possibility is still there. 40, 50 years ago, we wouldn't even dream that it would be a possibility in our lifetime. And then just in the last couple of decades, things have gotten so bad, we wonder how far it's going to go. I mean, it's going down the toilet. See, the times have not changed because there is nothing new under the sun. As the Ecclesiastes writer said, nothing new under the sun. And so make no doubt about it, this world is continuing to cancel Christ and his church as strongly as ever. And that's what we're having to deal with. They want to cancel Christ and his church. In other words, if we are part of Christ, they want to cancel us out too. Make us non-relevant. Now, there's a couple of examples of cancel culture. I mean, kill the children. I mean, you remember that? You know, Pharaoh ordered Jewish male newborns to be killed because this people, there's more of them than there are of us. We need to start killing the males off. And so they won't come back and take over our land. And then when Herod heard that a child was born in Bethlehem that would be a king, and the wise men did not return to tell them where he was, that was almost 2 years. So he said, any male child 2 years and younger needs to be put to death. And so they slaughtered the males under 2 years of age. And even today, our society approves the murder of innocent children through abortion. I mean, it's a blight upon this country, and God is not happy about it. We should not be happy about it. We should not support it in any way. And so in their deluded, sick reasoning, they consider they are doing the child a favor by not bringing them into this sinful world. But you know what? All of this so that they may continue in their wickedness of lust. That's all it comes down to. That's the bottom line. Their selfishness. And so killing the children is one way of doing that. And we've heard we have to now accept the LGBTQ, PRSUVW. I mean, they're going to keep adding letters to this, okay? I mean, they already did. LGB. That was it 20 years ago, 30 years ago when they started coming out with that. Now all of a sudden they start throwing all these other things. I mean, to cover every sort of sexual deviation you can think of. And I imagine before it's all over, they're going to have the whole alphabet used up. But every social platform being promoted these days has an underlying agenda to normalize deviant sexual behavior. They said, well, okay, gay marriage. Okay, we get that. We'll be quiet for a while. Now they're trying to, and this is what we warn, now they're trying to promote pedophilia as being normal and accepted practice. I mean, yeah. And you go to certain cities in this country, and they have places where you can have sex with the opposite sex, the same sex. You can have sex with objects. You can have sex with animals. I mean, it's taking place. I mean, sexual trafficking of children. I mean, that's a big business. They make a lot of money off of that. And they're trying to make it normal. So, you know, Black Lives Matter. This was something, well, that sounded like a good thing to jump on board with until people started looking at what they were trying to promote. And then all of a sudden, they realized this was a means to normalize the agenda of gay marriage, of lesbians and gays and transgenders and all sorts of things like that. I mean, entertainment industry has been forcing this material into our television and movie screens and promotes it as a normal behavior. And we could watch it. In our lifetime, we've watched the Disney Channel all of a sudden have two young males kissing each other. And we have watched programs on TV that were pretty good to watch. Then all of a sudden, one of the characters, oh, there's a gay character here, and it's normal. And nowadays, you can't watch practically any show without some two guys kissing or two girls kissing or promoting some sort of queer behavior. I mean, you just cannot do it. It's there everywhere. So that's why some of us look at the old movies and watch the old movies and stuff like that, because we don't want to see that. It's offensive to us. But yet, teaching the truth, they say we must be silenced because the truth is offensive to them. So it's double standards. We know that. See, the public schools have been promoting this diversity for years now. And as a result, many children have become confused and not sure what to think about it. I mean, they started teaching sex education back in school years ago. Now they started, I understand, in some states, by the first and second grade, teaching them, well, here's, you have many alternatives to relieve your sexual satisfaction. Well, yes, there's boys, there's girls, there's animals, there's self-gratification, things like that. They're teaching them these things. And it's all normal. Now, God calls it fornication, but they call it normal. So, see, any educational institution that wants government assistance must comply with the mandates to promote this agenda. And a lot of colleges have done that. Abilene Christian University there in Texas, they still teach that homosexuality is wrong, but in order to get government grants, they have to have a chapter devoted to the gays and lesbians. And so they have to sponsor that. They have to have in their teaching curriculum the guidance to how to accept those who are different from you and not tell them they're wrong for doing that. So yeah, even the government is promoting this, and if you want grant money, then you're going to have to comply with these things. I mean, a lot of these places, they say if you want grant money, you have to accept the theory of evolution as fact and teach it as fact. I mean, so it does that. So the cancel culture attacks truth and decency as bigoted and unworthy of a voice. You don't need to listen to them. They're just telling you lies. They're telling you fables and myths. So don't listen to those who claim to be Christians. They're not worthy to listen to. And that's how our society is treating it. When we object to defining marriage between two of the same sex, we are called bigoted and biased. If we say two guys getting married, I mean, that's bigotry. That's bias. I mean, that's what they do. And that's how the cancel culture works. And we're going to see a little bit later on how that does work. So what? They went and legalized it. And anyone who speaks against such needs to be canceled and silenced as far as they are concerned. They're not relevant. If they don't agree with what we're trying to promote, they're not relevant and they don't need a voice. They don't need to be heard. We know this is true. You know, they tried to silence God's prophets and preachers. You know, Queen Jezebel canceled the prophets of the Lord with a massacre. 140 prophets of God were massacred because she didn't like what one of the prophets said to her. One of the prophets said, you need to pay attention to what God has to say. And she didn't like that, so she had them all killed. And then Jeremiah was canceled, and they attempted to kill him on several occasions. I mean, we talked about this Wednesday night. I mean, he was thrown into a cistern on one occasion. He was put into prison on several occasions. And he was put in the stocks so the kids could throw the rotten tomatoes at him and stuff like that. And so they canceled Jeremiah. Why? Because Jeremiah spoke the truth. They didn't do that with the false prophets. The people loved what the false prophets had to say, but they sure didn't like hearing the truth. See, the true prophets of God were not popular because they spoke the truth, whereas the people wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. And we see this in the scriptures. People wanted to hear the falsehood. In Isaiah chapter 30, they said, "Speak to us the smooth words. We don't want to hear any more about the Holy One of Israel." I mean, don't prophesy to us. Don't see visions for us. We want to just speak the words that are smooth. You know, when Jeremiah was to appear before King Zedekiah, Zedekiah's handlers would basically say, "You don't so say anything of what God wants this man to do. We're going to make sure he's exempt from that." And Jeremiah turned around and told King exactly what God said. And yeah, they put him in prison for doing that. See, Christ's apostles, they were canceled. The prophets were similarly canceled. You know, Acts 7, 5 through 4, 54 through 60, how Stephen was stoned and put to death. And what was Stephen telling them? He was telling them the truth. They didn't like the truth, so they stoned him. In chapter 12, I mean, another example of this, the persecution, and they wanted to silence and put down everyone who was a Christian. I mean, mentions how King Herod had James, the brother of John, put to death. And then also we find out that he captured Peter, put Peter in prison. Of course, Peter was later released by the angel and got out, but still, it would be starting to begin popular to start persecuting Christians and making them be quiet. So those things happen. And basically, they didn't want to hear anything from Jesus, even though they asked him questions. They didn't want him to do anything. So what do? They started lying about him. They brought in those who would testify false witness and saying all sorts of things. And yes, they would turn aside to fables and myths. And then Paul said, you know, even I am being poured out as a drink offering. In other words, my time is coming up. They've scheduled an execution date. So that's why he wrote 2 Timothy. See, we rely upon historical writings from the 2nd century to learn how they all died a martyr's death. And all of them. So we know that some were beheaded, some were hung, some were crucified, other things happened. Only one died of old age. That was the Apostle John, who wrote the Revelation and the Gospel of John and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. But what did they do? Years before that, they had taken him and dropped him into a vat of boiling oil. Somehow he survived that. So then that's when they exiled him to the island. So, I mean, that happened. In other words, silence these people. We don't want to hear these people. The Pharisees didn't like what Jesus said, so what do? Let's find a way to silence this guy for good. best way to silence someone is to put them to death. And now, even today, silence God's word. God's word is offensive. I mean, when you read what God says about certain sins, well, that's offensive to people. We have to silence that. We can't allow that to be spoken. You know, nowadays, sometimes you just take a passage of scripture and put it on your Facebook feed, and guess what? This doesn't agree with our community standards, so we're taking it down and putting you in jail. Facebook jail. I mean, so it does stuff like that. See, King Jehoiakim exemplifies the cancel culture. As Jeremiah was reading him the scrolls, he would take the scroll, the portion of the scroll he read from, and hand it to King Jehoiakim. What a king. He took a penknife and cut out the passages he didn't like. Then he just threw it all into the fire. So after that, God told him to rewrite everything that he had been told to say. So he cut and burned the scroll of God's word when it was read to him, commanding that Jeremiah and Baruch be arrested. I mean, this happened in Jeremiah 36, 20 through 26. See, our public school system has indoctrinated our children to consider the Bible to be a myth and a false narrative. Even getting to the point, if your parents go to church, you need to report them. Can you imagine that? If your parents make you pray before your meal, you need to report them. I mean, this is what the school system does. I mean, the school system is just an indoctrination center for whatever. Primarily, it's an indoctrination system for the communistic system. That's why socialism is becoming so very popular these days, because the schools have been teaching these people that's what we need. See, they actually shame anyone who claims to be a believer. Anyone who claims to be a Christian all of a sudden is an object of ridicule, and it's socially acceptable to ridicule those who believe in God. It is socially acceptable. And so, most children are unwilling to endure this shame, and they mask and hide their face, or they soon learn not to believe. And if they do what the schools and the government and society wants them to do, they will not believe in God. That's why it's so important that parents teach their children from a young age about serving God and being faithful to God. Because as we've seen on Facebook memes, you know, if you don't teach your children to love God, the world will teach them to hate God. And that's true. So very true. Now, sometimes the burning of books. Yeah, we've heard of this taking place over the centuries. I mean, the burning of books takes us to Acts chapter 8. Now, in this case, the people of Gaza were burning all their books of witchcraft and necromancy in light of what they received from the preaching of the kingdom. This is the only time you'll ever hear something positive about burning books. I mean, that's the only time. Every other time, it's done in a negative way to silence people. See, in many places, the truth has been sequestered and often tried to be destroyed. Keep it away from the people. We don't want the people to know these truths. In fact, cultures and governments have been burning Bibles for centuries. Happens all over the place, and we read about this taking place in history. They've been burning Bibles, and sometimes they burn those who published the Bibles. You know, one person who helped bring us our Bible was William Tyndale. He translated the Latin text into the common language of English of that day. And you know what? The church strangled him and then burned him at the stake. Because getting the message out to the people, they didn't like that. Why? Because they were telling everybody, you do what we tell you to do. I mean, don't worry about what's written in the books. You just do what we tell you to do, and that's the way it's going to be. Now, Tyndale, he published this, and people started reading that, said, wait a minute, something's wrong here. Something's not right. They're teaching, while we're supposed to be following God, but they're teaching us new things that aren't even in the Bible. You know, Martin Luther, in the early, late 1500s, he said, wait a minute, he translated the Latin text into German. As he's going through, wait a minute, the church has been doing this and this. 95 things that he found out that the church was doing that is not according to Scripture. And really, anything that someone considers unworthy to be read is handed over to the cancel culture for the shaming and to be ignored. And that's including the Bible. You know, some people, well, I'll accept some of the Bible, but I don't want to accept it all. And a lot of people live that way. I mean, every word of God is important, as we said in class today. But you know what? Some people will do that. And if someone walks in and said, here's what the Bible says, they're going to be booed, they're going to be hissed, they're going to be made fun of, people are going to start screaming, they're going to do that, la, 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 that type stuff. So they're going to shut up and not allow God's word to be spoken in public. And they say that's offensive. See, one day the teaching of God's words could bring persecution, whether it be spoken or written. I mean, so when we do this, I mean, there could be people out there making lists right now. Everybody who promotes God and His Word, they could be making a list right now so that when they finally get in charge, they'll just go gather them all up and put them in a giant gas chamber and silence them all. I mean, we don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that really shouldn't matter. Because we should be Christians whether we're being persecuted or not. All right. See, Christians will contend earnestly for the faith in the face of the cancel culture. We will contend earnestly for the faith. I mean, no matter what they try and make us shut up about, we're going to speak God's word on it. That's what we're going to do. See, censoring the truth of God does not make it go away. You know, Gamaliel, the great scholarly teacher of the Jews and Pharisees, he said, you know what? If this is from God, there's not a thing we can do to stop it. And if it's from man, it's just going to die away anyway. And then Peter finally had to tell him, we must obey God rather than men. And so, yeah, I mean, they were told not to preach anymore. Then they were beaten. And so Peter and John went away kind of proud of the fact that they were beaten for the cause of Christ. They felt a sense of pride there. So we as Christians will either take a stand with the saints or we will join the worldly in their disgust of God's truth. And sadly, more and more in many churches of our land, the word of God is disgusting to them, and they turn their back on it and do not even follow it anymore. That's the denominations. Sometimes, even in some churches of Christ, they treat it that way. They treat with utter disregard what the Bible says because they want to do what the others are doing. You know, when the people came up and asked Samuel for a king, he said, you don't need a king, you have God as your king. They said, no, but we want a king. We want to be like the nations around us. And look at a lot of churches of Christ today. Some of them have women preachers. Some of them do things that are not found in Scripture. Some of them use instruments of music in their worship and all sorts of innovation. In fact, if the denominations have tried something, they say, well, let's do that too. That sounds pretty good. So really, there is a Church of Christ denomination. We're not part of that group. See, the denominations already have canceled the truth by their rejection of the truth. They reject the truth. We must not be ashamed of Christ and His words in this cancel culture age. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. So we've got to speak out. We've got to speak out against all sin, no matter who's doing it. Now, for the last problem of cancel culture, and this is something we need to remember. This is how it operates. Demonize the opposition. I mean, we see that. The cancel culture demonizes its opposition in at least three different ways. First way, The cancel culture uses misrepresentations and lies against its targets. They just tell a lie, and then, well, they'll run with that. Some people will believe it, accept it because of who told it to them, and others, they just take the misrepresentations. I mean, they do this. If they don't like a particular candidate, you misrepresent what they say and make them into something that they aren't. See, Jesus and Stephen were canceled this way. I mean, they came up. What did they do? They brought those who brought false accusation, false representation, and then they put them to death. That's what they did with Jesus and Stephen. And you can expect similar treatment when you speak the truth of the gospel. You know, John 15, 18 through 20. The truth is that very important. And we've got to hold to that truth and speak that truth. And Jesus said, you know what? If you speak the truth that I give you, people are going to hate you. They're going to want to beat you up. They're going to want to silence you and put you to death. And they're going to reject you. And he told his apostles, you know, so what if they reject you? If they reject you, they are actually rejecting me and the one who sent me. Second thing they do, the cancel culture marginalizes opponents. We have an example of this in Acts 24 and 5. See, Paul was going around. He was doing a lot of good teaching. But then he made some enemies because he kept speaking the truth. He kept teaching those who were of the synagogue, and they were leaving the synagogue in droves. Now all of a sudden, one of this official comes up. He says, Paul's an extremist. He's one of these people that's just an extremist of this. He's the ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, is what the scripture says. He's a ringleader. He's a troublemaker. And all of this to just say anything this guy says is just so whacked out and so far out there, you can't believe anything this man says. See, such treatment intends to shame a person into silence or convict him as guilty without the right to be heard. How many times have we seen that in our society in recent years? Someone's guilty, and they never have an opportunity to say, but wait a minute. No, they're not given that. They're already condemned as guilty just because of who they are. Just because someone said they need to be guilty, and they need to do that. So it happens in our day and age. And then the third way, the cancel culture demands conformity. See, the cancel culture comforts itself in the strength of numbers. Get more people on our side. Oh yeah, we must be right because we have the majority. Well, you know what the scriptures say about the majority. Don't follow the majority to do evil. I mean, the broad way that leads to destruction, many are going to be on it. The narrow way, very few will find it. So the more people on board, the stronger the message for them, or so they think. See, the Roman Empire identified the nonconformists, in this case Christians, and persecuted them unto death. We read about that in Revelation 13, 16 and 17. Put Christians to death. Why? Because they're teaching things that we don't want spoken. See, they did so by making it popular and acceptable to mistreat Christians. I mean, that's basically what it was. And it didn't happen overnight, but it started happening. It took a while to do it. But, you know, Hitler did the same with the Jews 100 years ago. 100 years ago, Hitler, through a process of basically building up hatred for Jews, I mean, he did it by using the newspapers and the media to promote this hatred and then making it look acceptable to hate and mistreat Jews. And then people had no problem when they started loading them into boxcars to take them off to be slaughtered. I mean, that's how it works. That's how the cancel culture works. If you don't conform, we're going to cancel you. And yet the Roman Empire fell, the Third Reich fell, And so will anyone who promotes this cancel culture. It's all going to fail. So don't jump on board just because someone says, oh, we need to cancel them, make them shut up. Yeah, honestly, there's a few people we wish would shut up. I wish the denominational people would stop teaching their lies. But that's not going to happen. So I have to speak the truth louder than they are. See, through Peter, the Holy Spirit said, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's what we have to work on. I mean, we have to do the will of God so that when we teach the will of God, we're not accused of misrepresenting it or doing something wrong. That's why Paul said, I buffet my body daily, keep it under subjection, so that no one will have right to call me a hypocrite. I mean, so the foolishness of men comes through their ignorance. And when we speak God's truth, we're telling the truth. They don't like it. We know that's the truth. We know they don't like it. So what? We must muzzle. We muzzle or render speechless. In Matthew 22 and 12, talked about they were speechless. They had nothing to say. See, those who foolishly speak without knowledge and reason. You know, some people come up, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then, but that's not what God's word says. You know, there's a lot of denominational preachers out there saying, well, here's how you need to be saved. That's not what God's word says. They don't like it. See, despite the cancel culture, God's word remains powerful. God's people persevere, and God's purposes prevail. That's what they are. Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. And that's it. And so 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25 talks about how great, seeing you have purified your souls through an obedience to the faith. I mean, so that's what we're supposed to do and how we treat others and respect others. And we must speak up without shame. That's one problem a lot of us seem to have, is we're ashamed to speak up anything about God. Because where we live and where we work and where we go to school, it's very unacceptable to mention God in our society. And so a lot of times we just don't speak up at all. And sin is taking place, it's being thrown in our face, and we just don't do anything about it. What do they say about silence? Silence is an approval. We cannot let people think that way. So we must speak up without shame, because we are of God, and our God is greater than he who is in this world. And the scriptures teach us that. Yeah, the power of God unto salvation is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And 1 John 4, 4 through 5 talks about this wonderful God who loves us and wants us to be saved. But you know what? The only way that's going to happen is if we obey everything he commands us to do and are willing to stand up for the truth and defend the faith. So think about this. I mean, cancel culture is a problem everywhere in our society, and they think it's socially acceptable to cancel people out and make them be silenced, whether they want to be silenced or not. You got to make them pay the price, is what they're thinking. But in the end, God's going to have an answer for them. And that's what we know. So consider these thoughts. That's our lesson. I mean, we do have to face cancel culture, and we just need to be strong enough and faithful enough to say, they're not going to stop me from obeying the gospel. They're not going to stop me from preaching the truth. I mean, they'll have to come in and arrest me and take away my computer before that's going to happen. So, yeah, that's what we're faced with. So consider this. And remember these lessons about cancel culture, how they try and cancel us out. Next year, we're going to have a few sermons about some of the same things that the denominations tried to do with the Church of Christ last century. So we're going to see some of their tactics, and they're really no different. The tactics were used in the Old Testament days. I mean, Satan canceled out God's word when he spoke to Eve, said, "Thou shalt not surely die." So think about these things. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need, respond. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Okay, 317, first and last verse to this song, 317. All things are ready, come to the feast, come for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye with recum, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation, come.
Take of the Lord's Supper and to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing number 179, the first and last verse to this song. Number 179, to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. 179. Ready?
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn crown brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget. Lest I forget thy hand.
Christians, we are commanded to partake of the Lord's broken body and shed blood upon each and every first day of the week. We find an example of this found in Acts 28:7, and it reads as follows. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on tomorrow, and continue his speech until midnight. We also have another example found in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verses 23 to 30. If you have your Bibles, you shall read as this. For I have received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which you were betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many weep and many are sweet. At this time, let us give thanks for the cup, for the bread. Let us bow. The righteous Father in heaven, we approach our throne of grace this morning, dear God. Give you thanks, Father, for your Son, Jesus. We pray, Father, that as we get partake of this bread, which represents your Son's broken body on the cross, that we may do so in a manner that would be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let us at this time bow and pray for the cup. Shall we pray? The righteous Father in heaven, as once again we approach to your throne of grace, dear God, this faith will be Father, and you'll be a blessing. We pray, Father, that now is the time that we give thanks, Father, for this cup which represents your Son's shed blood on the cross. We pray, Father, that we may examine ourselves. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. as Christians, we also commanded to give back a portion of that which God has blessed us with throughout the week, that we may continue on to be able to help others and to continue on to help the church here as a whole, the Church of Christ throughout this land. We have an example of this found in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, verses 1 and 2. And it reads as follows. Now concerning the election for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there shall be no gatherings when I come. At this time, let us bow and we give thanks for all of this. O righteous Father in heaven, we so thank you, dear God, for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us in this life. I'm so thankful for our homes, for our jobs, and all that you have prepared for us in this world. We pray, Father, now it is time that we may give back a portion of that which you have so graciously given us. We pray, Father, that we may give freely and not grudgingly, for you may know that you do love what you have prepared. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
A few announcements before we're dismissed. You need to remember several who are not here today. Jack and Shanice, Conrad, he has his moments, and the Cabrera girls are not here. But anyway, remember them in our prayers, and I hope they'll get better. It's good to see Al and Maureen here. They're going through some trying times, so it's good to see them. As far as the rest of our families we need to pray for, remember to pray for Lori and her daughter-in-law, Sean Ann, going through that problem. Russell's brother, Randy, has a script surgery rescheduled, which is coming up about the middle of this month. His other brother is not doing too good, and his sister isn't doing too good. But so far, Russell's been doing pretty good lately. Glad to see that. Still working on his car. So. Anyway, we're good. Good to see that. All right. I've got the eye appointment tomorrow, so let's pray that that works out well for me and keeps me going. Another note, the bank has been kind of getting a little on our case about the way we fill out our checks. So remember, when you write a check, to make it out to the Newark Church of Christ. So, just do it that way. I don't know, Church of Christ has always worked for me, and then all of a sudden, now they want the newer Church of Christ, because that's what our account is. So if you remember to do that, make your checks out to the newer Church of Christ. All right.
Right here.
Is
that congregation's please pray for Mr. and Mrs. Anselmo? My wife takes care of these old couple, which is all. Mrs. Anselmo fell from her bed and hurt her knee. And Mrs. Anselmo fell a couple of days ago on a ladder and broke his left arm. And they just did a 7-hour surgery on him this Friday at Casual. Please also pray for me. I had an ultrasound on my kidney and they found something. And I'm having a CAT scan follow up this week. They're hoping there's no quality acid on it.
Okay, Dennis. All right. So there's Pete people in this world that are hurting, a lot of people. So we just need to pray for as many as we can. Oh God. Yeah, well, Tracy's not feeling good this morning, so, but she's here. Listening in on us. So anyway, that's it for today. So we'll ask Avery to come up and direct the closing prayer.